Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back. This is your host, Tom or Robots. I'm here with my good buddy, the Lotus of Doom. And Lotus, I've got one thing to tell you right now. One thing to say.
Okay.
One thing to say. Freaking Hermimora.
People didn't get enough of my obnoxious emotes in normal chat, you should have tuned into the live stream where everybody was just throwing them all over the place obnoxiously. I'm surprised I wasn't banned.
Man, yeah, everybody got so excited when they were like, yes, we're confirming it. Hermaeus Mora is coming. We're doing more Hermimora stuff this year. And then, of course, the internet exploded all, sent you private messages about,
yeah,
you know, don't miss this, Lotus, don't miss.
Yeah, no, I appreciate everybody looking out to make sure I got my Hermaeus Mora statue, which I had talked about prior to this being a thing, where I was just like, I want a giant Hermaeus Mora statue. Well, now that dream is a reality. But
it's going to go in your altar, which you've been digging out a basement, a sub basement. There you have your regular basement, and then you've got your sub basement temple,
just full of Hermaeus Mora swag.
Yep.
Number one cultist.
Yep. Lots of books and piles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very excited for the reveal, because essentially this is just the year of apparently giving me everything I want, because my favorite game and zone is Morrowind, which we're going to Necrom and the Telvanni Peninsula. So we were 50% right. Apparently the blacklight thing that I said, there's no way it's that on the nose and isn't real. Apparently it is that on the nose and wasn't a thing, but whatever. We'll just gloss over that.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? You're not the only one who was excited about this, because we've got our patrons with us today.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
the end of the month. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through, I'm going to read out everybody's names who was able to join us this week. And at the same time, on the count of three, you guys will all tell me how you feel about Hermaeus Mora in one word. Here we go. Welcome to T-Rex, Ben of Temeria, Ombre Mortem, Rob the Princess, and Falcon with a Box On. Get ready to unmute, because on the count of three, how do you feel about Hermaeus Mora? One, two, three.
Yeah.
Redacted.
I really appreciate how off sync that was.
That was, yeah. Oh, it's the fun of, you know, Zoom calls with all the.
Yeah, no, there's no latency. What are you talking about?
Weird
quantum mechanics.
Yeah, it all, it's fine. It's fine. So, yeah, so that's what today's episode is about. We've got this big reveal that dropped yesterday. And then today, everybody's buzzing about all sorts of things, and we're going to go over, and the way this is formatted today, friends, sometimes we have an individual question and each patron will answer or share something, and then we'll discuss it and move on. today we're just going to go through the list of the different things that were announced, and then you guys feel free to chime in with how excited you're about that. Is that something that you think is cool? Do you think that that's going to be really fun for the lore? What do you expect? Like these kinds of things. So this is more of an open discussion. So feel free to chime in or raise your hand if you want to jump in there. But I guess we have to start with Hermaeus Mora, because we've already been talking about the Daedric Prince of Forbidden Knowledge, and everybody, I think all of you guys are into Hermaeus Mora. He's one of—
who's that?
He's probably one of your favorites. We did an episode on him. If you want to go back
like
and listen,
Rob, hit the disconnect button.
Yeah, big tentacly. He's— by the way, did you notice that when they showed the picture of him in the footage, that like there's the Skyrim Hermaeus Mora, right? And he's like this dark blob and he's big. But this version of him that they're showing is way, like, he is swole.
Bikini body ready.
Oh, my God.
Massive.
He's been lifting or something, or eating a lot. I don't know. I don't know how that works if you're a big tentacle monster.
It's his true form.
Yeah. Much less potato, though. Much less potato than he was in Daggerfall or Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
I need to look this up.
Yeah, go look it up. So who has some thoughts on Hermaeus Mora? Are you guys excited about Hermaeus Mora?
Of course. He has his own throne now.
Mm-hmm.
He sits on a throne.
With his...
made of books.
Yeah.
Made of books, exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Can I get a book throne?
Right? That's like...
a book throne?
Legit book throne.
It's pretty cool. Also, I don't— this is probably something that most people didn't realize, but I just— it was appreciated, a little small nod. They never once put a gender on Hermaeus Mora when they talked about Hermaeus Mora. They said, that Daedric Prince or their realm, and they always kept it gender neutral. I'm like, because he's— it's just— that's the whole thing about Hermaeus
Mora.
It's
like the blob.
Yeah.
Can you really put a gender to a blob?
Yeah. Every Daedric Prince transcends gender is what they always say, but like Hermaeus Mora really transcends gender. There is just no gender to that.
Hermaeus Mora is very nebulous and sort of kind of resembles a constellation in that video more than anything else.
It's just a little subtle nod. It's like, I see you. I see you.
Yeah, yeah.
I, if we were to consider the trajectory of the games as kind of an evolution, so you go back, you know, there's Arena and Daggerfall, and then of course you have the more recent or more modern versions of the games, and each one of them kind of evolves on the previous one's settings and characters and things like that. So what we're getting here, similar to some of these other expansions, is we're going back to Apocrypha. We're going back to a realm we've been to before in one of the other games, but now we're getting kind of reworked art, new assets, new character models, all of that stuff. And I feel like that stuff still looks pretty good in Skyrim, especially when you install a bunch of texture mods and that kind of stuff. But in this version, I think we're getting a nice little upgrade, kind of like when we did the Oblivion stuff. The Deadlands,
when we were in the Deadlands, I like the potential of this as well, because I feel like the Deadlands became much more interesting when it wasn't just, hey, here's generic Hellscape A.
And then towers you get lost everything. In. Yeah, right.
Right. And then it was like, oh, no, the idea is that it's destruction and everything like that. So you went through, oh, well, this is the Maelstrom area where it's like all winds and lightning. And this is the lava area and stuff like that. So it gave it like a little more to it.
Right.
And you were on kind of a set path in Dragonborn with Hermaeus Mora's realm. So it's kind of neat that they took what you saw in Apocrypha and maybe kind of stretched it out. So it's like, well, this isn't just you seeing it from the black books where you're on these like very set paths. This is just other parts of Apocrypha where it's like, okay, well, yeah, there's more to this. It just all has a very similar vibe to it.
Right. I feel like the book piles are bigger. The inky black goo is all over the place. The everything's kind of— I turned on the green lights behind me. Everything's kind of got that greenish, yellowy, greenish kind of tinge to it, which makes it feel kind of unsettling. What did you guys think? What did you think about all this?
Yeah, it was super cool. I also like the fact that they are adding in like more than just the two base, because we knew about the Seekers, we knew about the Lurkers, but in Dragonborn DLC, that was like all we got. And so they're adding the tome shell like creatures. Those are really cool.
And the little books are really neat that they just kind of like exist as like, oh yeah, no, things have like used the books to become like shells for them. Like they, mm-hmm. they made the hermit crab reference, which I thought was really neat for a way of turning that into an actual creature.
Also yeah. sounds like they're not even hostile. They're just yep. creatures that just hang around.
Right. Well, just like books. Yeah. In some of these other Oblivion realms, sometimes you just have creatures just like you do in yeah. you know, in Tamriel, yeah. where it's yeah, like, oh, it's just like a fox.
The Daedrats and other right. stuff that mm-hmm. just kind of crawl around. And
yeah. There's creatures yeah. that live there. Who is going to get one of those as a pet and have it follow you around?
I want one.
Absolutely. Somebody actually had just posted on Twitter about that. And they asked what you would name it. And I said Cheeto because it reminds me of the book from Banjo-Kazooie where you would type in your cheat codes when you collected its pages.
Wow.
And that's all I can think of now.
Wow. Yeah, that's a callback. Oh, man. All right.
Also, we can assume if who would get X for anything this year, Lotus's hand is up.
Yes.
Also
right.
valid. If right. it was in the store, it's already been purchased. If it's coming... my hand's up. Just assume it's up.
Right, right. So along with Hermaeus Mora, we have an understanding of, what was it, Laravel the Wise? Was that his name?
Laramel.
Laramel. Oh,
yeah,
Laramel the Wise, and how Laramel the Wise isn't a worshiper, is kind of a mutual...
business partner.
Business partner, yeah. Usually there's some respect going on between, which is weird that like a Daedric prince like Hermaeus Mora would have some respect for a mortal. But maybe Laramel's very capable and very handy or something.
Must mean something.
Must mean something.
I feel like it's not too far of a leap from how we see how Hermaeus Mora treats the Dragonborn in the Dragonborn DLC. It doesn't really treat Dragonborn with respect, but he does, you know, treat him almost like a business partner. Like, hey, I have right. these goals. You have the assets I need for those goals. You're going to help me get those.
Right.
He's not really asking, he's telling him. So that's kind of the main difference. But it's still like that. Hermaeus Mora has that kind of aspirations, I guess, where they're always going to be seeking a benefit from the. It's just not really like I want to rule the world. It's like, hey, I just want to find these things, and you're going to help me.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. But there's also a sense that like the Dragonborn is a very powerful, capable individual, and so therefore is worth. Having go do things for you, right? So yeah. maybe Laramel
and Mirak.
Yeah, and Mirak, yeah. So maybe Laramel the Wise is also very capable in his own right. We don't really know, but I'm sure we'll find out more about that. And also, welcome to Siege Bro and Jumarov, who just joined us as well. We're talking about Hermaeus Mora and some of the some of that stuff, the Apocrypha and any of those things. I feel like Hermaeus Mora is all over this expansion because you have like the creepy vibe, you have got like some of the other Daedra from his realm that are going to show up, then there's something going on with like some sort of zombies or something, and then there's
yeah, the
Necrom
hushed that Rob was kind of alluding to,
yeah.
like the other creatures,
yeah.
I really liked that addition. That seemed very fitting because I had mentioned it on Tales when we kind of went on our as abridged as we could possibly do thing because we were both very, very sleep deprived.
3 hour long abridged episode.
Yeah, I was going to say we managed to keep it to just like an hour and a half, which everybody was shocked by because it was like 6:30 in the morning for Ark. But the hushed I thought were a really cool addition just because I actually didn't think I'd bring it up again, but the book, I believe it's on Oblivion, if I'm not mistaken, where they kind of like going through the realms and the wizards record, like recording back to his apprentice, like what he's seeing in the different realms. And basically the journey ends in Apocrypha because he goes completely crazy by being enveloped by all the knowledge and he just loses track of what he's doing. And that's just it. And it just like loses all focus, just completely gets consumed with trying to get more and more knowledge. And it's like, the idea that they turn that into a creature of like, oh yeah, this mortal got dropped in this realm and they just got so obsessed with this that they didn't eat. It started to like deform them, like all these things. That's just such a cool concept for a creature.
I have a few points on this. One, what do we think that the nature of the creature is by implied by the name the Hushed? And then two, isn't this kind of what the Seekers already are? The, this is going to be a bridge because I read this like years ago and I'm just kind of going off memory, but the lore of the Seekers were mortals who made deals with Hermaeus Mora to seek all the knowledge that's hidden in their realm, and they got lost in the madness of the knowledge, and they lost their minds, and they got twisted over, you know, eons of being in the realm and got turned into these creatures. Well, that's what I think the Seekers were.
I think there's a key line there in that these are individuals who made deals with Hermaeus Mora. That seems like it was of their own volition. Maybe the Hushed, Hushed had no choice.
Yeah,
that's what I thought too. A willing participant,
right?
100%. Like you got dropped in there, and it's like, oh wow, you should not have read some of those black books because this is really degraded real fast.
Where
it's
right.
Like, if you're going, it's the idea of like, oh, I'm going to read it, you know, an Elder Scroll. Well, okay, yeah, but if you have training, you can kind of control the situation as opposed to just like you walk up to somebody in a bar after five meads and be like, hey, check out this Elder Scroll, and you just open it in front of them.
Right, just blind everybody in the bar.
Push me! Point,
bro. But that makes sense, though, because like the Seekers sought this out. They did it themselves. They signed up for it. The Hushed were hushed. It wasn't voluntary. That makes sense with the name.
It's like they're in a library, like, shh. You're not supposed to be here. Be quiet.
Right, for real, actually. That's
Actually,
nice. I wonder if that's exactly what they're going for.
Yeah, that's actually really clever.
Yeah, I like that. That totally makes sense. So we've got that stuff going on. We've got the city of Necrom.
So gnarly.
Which is, you know, they explain a little bit more about it because we don't get a ton. The only other time we've ever seen Necrom is all the way back at Arena. And God knows that the Elder Scrolls games
looks a lot better now.
Are way different when you go all the way back to Arena.
Did you notice the call out to Daggerfall when they're carrying all the sarcophagus, like they're walking?
So
like that's pulled straight from
Yes, I didn't at first. Somebody showed that to me and I was like, oh my God, that's super apparent now that you know it's there. Yeah,
that's
I
one
totally
of those nods.
Whiffed on that at first. Yeah.
Wait, so what was it? It was like an Arena reference?
It's a Daggerfall reference. The way they're carrying the tomb in like that, it's basically how they deal with the fallen ancestors and stuff like that. It's along the lines of how the cinematic goes, which I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. You can see that was inspired by that.
Yeah, it's like really, really, it's one of those, well, I guess actually after the Blacklight joke, I was going to say it's too coincidental to not be there, but
right.
Who knows, I guess.
Yeah. You have to give it to the team, though. Some people complain about the way the storylines play out or like, oh, this whole, you know, turn for the villain was predictable or whatever. But when it comes to the locations and the setting and the lore that they add in and a lot of these other things, the team really does their homework. They really do go back to the other games, the older games, and go, what are things that were referred to, you know, 3, 4, 5 games ago that we really haven't fleshed out too much in recent games, and let's go back and let's bring them back. And it totally makes sense that they're pulling stuff like that from Daggerfall as well.
I just love the old references that they do, like things we had Gideon with Blackwood, we've got Necrom. You know, now coming from, well, it's the Necron chapter type of thing, but I just love the fact that it's like, oh yeah, here's what it actually looks like in a modern day setting, other than here's a procedurally generated pixelated place with a lava flowing volcano in the background. By the way, this is Necrom. It's like, okay, that's like one of a million cities in the Morrowind province.
Sure. So. And we also get a lot of description about it. And in fact, they even went into like the way that the art and the buildings are shaped is influenced by the cultures and the different houses of Morrowind, and how this is a place that isn't only of one house. It's a place that's welcome to all the Dunmer because it's a place that they bring their dead and all of these things. And they really touched on that stuff as kind of, you know, a nice setting. We're going to have Monty Python references where people are hitting the old man over the head. I'm not going dead.
We better get like a bell toller in there, like bring out your dead walking down the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt like, I know I wasn't the only one, but I watched the reveal with me and a buddy. And as they were showing off cinematics and gameplay and stuff like that, I couldn't help but look at the furniture of everything. I was like, oh, Whitestone, that'll go good. And, you know, like, oh, look at that vase. That one has this little design on it. I was like, that'll be something I earned. That'll be something I earned. My buddy's like, look at that motif. Like, that was half the fun of watching those trailers too.
Nah, Jim, I'm pretty sure you're the only one who watched it with a friend.
Oh,
yeah, you're also earlier.
You're also doing the real end game.
Yeah, no, we went over this earlier. Everybody plays the expansions. Divorce.
No, I'm terrible. I've gotten like 5 people to play this game, and like 3 of them still occasionally do. And I invited them over, and we were drinking, watching the show, talking mad shit the whole time. It's fine.
They were talking in the reveal about like, oh, how they were wanting to stay true with the architecture. And I feel like from what we've seen in the trailer, which we'll have to wait and see to get the whole spiel, I guess, but they did seem to like match the aesthetics of like the base game content, like the Stone Falls to Sean Zone. It still does fit that area, but still doesn't look like it was made in 2014. So
yeah,
it looks like a holy place too. It looks like not regal, but like, I don't know. It's not as gritty as the rest of Morrowind is. It's very like, this is where we bury our dead. Similar, it's almost like a chapel fit, with like its colors and whatnot. Yeah.
Now, did anybody see the deluxe upgrade motif that you get? It's very inspired. Like, to me, it feels like a Mirak vibe.
I'll look.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. And I totally agree with you.
By Hermias Mora.
And so, I'm curious, are we going to see Mirak? Because he's in Apocrypha at this point.
I've been hearing a lot of speculation about that.
Yeah, Lotus and I talked about that. True. That was one of those ideas I threw out.
I'm very curious. I wouldn't think so, but theoretically he would be missing an action like at this point and probably in that area. So
what if the threat to all of Nern is Mirak escaping too early? What if that throws the timeline in crisis? It brings back dragons too soon, or, you know, like, he is the first dragonborn. He's got a lot of power. And if he were to escape from Apocrypha, who knows?
Allegedly.
Or here's a good speculation.
Allegedly.
He tries to escape, but Hermia recruits you. It's like, hey, there's this main threat in my realm. Come help me because I still want to get knowledge of Nern. Going forward, and him escaping completely throws that out of balance.
Sure. It gets in his way. Yeah, he doesn't want that to happen.
Right. Yeah. And I guess side quest spoilers for Blackwood. He's been Hermias Mora has been kind of like throwing stuff out into Tamriel as of late to collect information. There's actually a really good side quest where you encounter one of his little watchers who's messing with a town to try to basically see how they'll respond with stuff. And then the Watcher it's a really good quest. And it's kind of the Watcher kind of doesn't really want to do necessarily what he's sent there for. And he's intrigued by the situation. It's a really good quest, but it also shows you that there's some weirdnesses going on. It's like, oh, he's Hermias Mora is kind of like looming around all the time, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
I didn't play, the Dragonborn DLC. Should I just leave?
We've got some homework to do.
So before next chat, it would be best.
We'll wait.
Just play through that real quick. Right,
everyone, I'll be right back. what's his face? Mirak. Was he working for Hermie? Like actively, happily working for him, or was he
not happily?
There was an agreement between them, but
To start with, it definitely seemed more amicable, and then it was kind of like once Mirak was like, okay, well, I'm the first Dragonborn here. Like,
I'm working with the Daedric Prince. I'm not supposed to do that.
Actually, he was very proud of the power he's gotten from it. So, I think I want to step back on that. I think he actually was happy with the partnership until like the last 5 minutes.
Well, then it was
mutually beneficial.
You can't tell me what to do anymore because I've reached like this level that I should be allowed to kind of do my own thing. Because pretty on the same page to start.
And Hermie was like, oh, you got too much power. Time to keep you in check. Hey, Dragonborn. And just decided you're my new champion. Spoiler alert for Dragonborn DLC.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Spoiler
alert. We're always the champion.
You're better than Skyrim.
Too bad. 11-year-old game.
But yeah, it's like as soon as Mirak was getting too ahead of himself, he was, his plan was working. It was like really, really good. And he was really, really powerful. And Hermaeus Mor was like, yeah, ixnay on that. And then just kills him on screen right in front of you. Steals your kill too, which is really trying to get all the souls back from him. Sorry. And just steals it.
There's a lot.
Yeah, because he kept stealing all your souls, all the dragon souls.
Say, dragon,
and then Hermes steals them from you.
Yeah, there's a lot of unfulfilled, finishing blows in that whole expansion where Mirak's jacking all your dragon kills, and then Hermaeus Mor is jacking your Mirak kill. It's just very unfulfilling.
But
in
it
that
is
regard.
It is almost a tragic story. I have like some threads that I'm on like some Elder Scrolls groups, and like some people really love Mirak's story because they see him as like this tragic story that you kind of like sympathize for the villain because he's like everything's working for him, and then he just gets betrayed, and like it's just kind of a heartbreaking story in his perspective as well.
Yeah, I feel bad for villains when they get betrayed.
Yep.
I bet we'll find Mirak's journal on a table somewhere saying, one day I'll get out of here. You know, that'll be the little like
that
Easter
also
egg.
Seems very like an ESO thing to give like a nod to something that everybody knows is gonna happen, and it's just like, oh yeah, by the way, nudge nudge, like we're aware of this expansion that you all played and loved.
Yeah, I think but, that's
except Jumorath. Yeah.
Everyone but Jumorath has played it. But I think that's, I really don't think we're going to see Mirak in ESO just because they like to introduce new villains. So when we got Skyrim, some people were speculating, oh, maybe we'll get Harkon back. No, we never got Harkon, and I was not surprised by that. And I don't think we're going to get.
I don't think Mirak. Either.
Yeah, they,
but it's fun to speculate, and I think we will get like a reference, maybe.
It would be really cool if Mirak was just nearby, but we never interacted with him. He never said anything to us, or never directly. Like he was just there, like his like just Hermes, like thought, yeah, like, and it was just this mysterious figure, and we never like those who know, but nobody knows who he is.
Or just like super insulting, he gives you like a really meaningless side quest.
Like, I need help.
Dude, he's like, clean up these books.
Hey, you're the vestige. Like, I haven't had
over there.
I haven't had guar beef in a while. Can you bring me some?
Why the guars make beef?
There's gonna be a closed bedroom door with like caution tape wrapped around it with a do not disturb, like a moody teenager.
Mirak's
what's
room.
In there? It's like, oh, that's Mirak's room.
Yeah, it's Mirak's room.
He's going through a phase.
No girls allowed.
No girls allowed. Well, guys, tell you what, we're getting close to the middle of the show. We got to take a break here and thank the patrons. And I've got some reviews to read out, including one that said, "Don't read this except for on a patron episode." So
you remember?
I'm very impressed. So, you remembered to actually
remember
do that for 3 weeks.
It's still here. Yeah, it's still here before it disappears off this feed that I only see the last month of stuff on. So we'll go do that stuff. Then we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about the new character class and some of the other details around the expansion. So don't go anywhere.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is Hermaeus Mor, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show with our patrons, thanking our patrons, including our newest patrons, Raker Grimm. I'm going to read these wrong. It's going to happen. Glenn, Lisa Z, Chris P, Kristen M, Reavercore, Adam, and Dusty Gonzagas. It's all one word, so I don't think it's a last name. But Who knows? I probably messed it up anyway. Welcome to the Patreon. I'm so glad you guys are here. And our Daedric Princes get a shout out. Kira C. and Noodle Al Dente, who are our Daedric Princes. So thank you to them for their support as well. And if you'd like to join us for an episode like this, or get the ad-free episodes, or the first 90-ish episodes that are now only on the Patreon, any of that stuff, go to patreon.com/ElderScrollsLoreCast. Go check that stuff out. And thank you to everybody who supports the show. All 146 of you. Oh my God. Thank you to everybody. God. It's crazy. You guys are nuts. What are you doing here? Also, we really appreciate it though.
Just on the note of this, because it was something I was actually using Spotify earlier at work to listen to music. Mm-hmm. And so many of you have actually been nice enough to leave us 5-star reviews on Spotify that if you type in Elder Scrolls, we show up before the soundtracks at this point.
Oh my God.
That was kind of, I was like, no, I'm trying to listen to music, not myself. So I actually had to scroll down to get to the Elder Scrolls Blades, which I was trying to listen to.
That's gotta be humbling.
That's pretty wild that we're technically the first search result when I use Spotify this morning. So,
and that's very rare. Usually podcasts don't do that.
I know.
Holy moly. Yeah. Yeah. 433 current ratings at a 4.8 average. So,
yep. Yeah, we're right up there with the Elder Scrolls podcast, which is from the Fudge Muppet crew.
Yeah.
So it's
basically
the two of us, and then you get to the actual soundtrack. So
right.
It's
that's
like,
crazy.
That's kind of weird.
That's so nuts. Well, thank you to everybody. Thank you for taking the time to drop us ratings and do all that stuff.
Yeah, greatly appreciated.
Greatly appreciated.
Sort of mind-boggling.
Yeah, we have two reviews. I'll read through these as quick as I can. We've got... this is the one I was supposed to wait for. Here, I'm going to read the name, and then you guys just chime in and tell me how this is pronounced. YHKOIGFVDYJK.
Slow down. What?
What?
I think you're right. I think that is how you pronounce it. Yes.
Problem.
I don't know how to pronounce that. I don't know how you even remember that as a name when you go to type it in the login. But
I got like three of those letters.
Yeah.
YHKOIGFVDYJK.
I don't know.
You don't know Yakagrafik?
Bless you. All right.
Obviously.
So.
Bless you.
Yeah. All right. So this review says, thank you, 5 stars. If you read this, please save it for a patron episode. Well, I did. Look, I did it. I love you and Mr. Doom. I'm going to call you Mr. Doom from now on. It's so good.
I appreciate this letter so much.
Oh, it's so good. The depth is amazing, but the best parts are when the rest of the community joins you, like you guys.
Hey.
I love those most. I'm trying to not be homeless, but I hope to be a patron soon. Well, take care of your living situation first.
You first.
We're doing fine, but we'd love to have you join us if you can. But take care of, have a home. Go get a home.
I want you to be comfortable more than I want you to support us.
Absolutely. Yes, please. And that goes for anybody. If you are financially in a situation where you're like, should I really support the Patreon right now? Because I've got some other stuff going on. Go take care of real world stuff first, please. Please, I want to make sure that you're okay. Then come back when you're more comfortable. But good stuff lined up. Fingers crossed 3 times, hopefully. Your podcast makes me feel like I have a home, and I love that. Thanks, Robots, Lotus, and all that have contributed. All of you let me know there's home I can have. Aw, smiling faces. That's so nice. Well, good luck with everything. Hope everything's working out for you in the few weeks it's been since you left this.
Yes. I'm hoping that next time we hear from you, it's good news.
Yes. That was Yakagrafik?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And then we have one.
You said that so seamless that now I'm just going to assume that's exactly how you say it.
It's secretly Rob. This is Rob. Rob. That's how we know. I know how to pronounce this. Thank you so much for taking the time to leave that, and good luck with everything. Also, we have one from Feynoris. Greetings from Feynoris. Hello, Tom and Lotus. Greetings from Belgium. Hello to Belgium.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I love when we get international stuff going on. This is so great. 5-star review incoming. Phenomenal show. I enjoy every second of it. The interaction you guys have with each other is contagious and makes the traffic jams I have to endure daily actually fun. Well, that's good, but it's not a very high bar to clear. But thank you.
More shocking, it turns out Tom and I are bitter rivals.
We hate each other's guts, and then we put on smiley faces for an hour a week. Yeah,
our Discord's just us yelling at each other the whole time, and then we pull it together for the show.
It goes on. It says, when I come home, my wife sometimes has to knock on my car window to come inside. Like, stop listening to your show and get in here. I wish you both the best, and I hope you get to be doing this for a long time. P.S. Lotus, Guars are evil. Smiley face.
And then that dagger to my heart.
Yep.
You know, I'm too high on Hermaeus Mora right now to be upset.
I mean, you do love Hermaeus Mora a little bit more than Guars.
Yeah, Hermaeus Mora, absolutely my favorite thing from the series. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you to both of you guys for leaving reviews. We really do appreciate it. And if you'd like to leave us for future reviews, they'll be read out if they're 5-star reviews on future episodes. And anything else you guys do to support the show, very, very, very thankful for everybody. We could be doing the best show in existence, but if it wasn't for you guys being out there listening and sharing it and reviewing and doing these things, we wouldn't have a successful show. So thank you to everybody and for all your support. All right, let's move on with the rest of the conversation about ESO this year.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, we're back, and we've talked about Hermaeus Mora. We've talked about a lot of that side of things. The other part of a new expansion in ESO is always the other extra bits of content, and this year we are finally getting a new class. How crazy is that? And this is something that previously they've said that they wouldn't be able to add into the game because of the limitations of the old consoles. But then there was no explanation for how they were able to magic this in and get it to work. So I don't know how that works, but I do know that I'm excited for a new class. I love trying out new character classes. Let's open this up. And I know some of you guys haven't been able to chime in as much. Ombre or Siegebro or Falcon, who has some thoughts on this? Why don't we start with one of you guys? Ombre, do you want to chime in?
Oh, I guess, sure. I mean, I was looking at the class yesterday. I was kind of going through like all the abilities, and it reminds me a lot of like, if you ever played World of Warcraft, a lot of like fell magic and stuff. And I'm a sucker for anything that is green and magical, so I'm a little hyped for that. And I'm like,
yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, it's the Arcanist, and there's clearly some Hermaeus Mora creepy connection. In fact, one of the attacks is tentacles that like come out of a, what seems like a portal in the palm of their hand or something. And then there's like a portal move, which is crazy. You can place a portal in front of you and then like halfway across a room and then just warp from one place to another.
And I'm wondering if anyone else caught this, but in the trailer, I did see them using healing magic.
Yes. I did notice. Yes. Well, and they mentioned that there's three different builds, just like many of the other classes, where you can go defense or healing or offense.
Can't wait to be a tank.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Dragon Knight has some healing capabilities, so it's not surprising that they have like a little bit of everything.
Plus, you can use the portals for even like outside of combat movement. Like you can use it like to traverse the world.
Right. The crazy cliffs and elsewhere. You can just kind of whoop to the top of one of those. Maybe not the real big ones, but certain ones that are difficult to climb up. T-Rex?
I'm wondering how those are gonna like work. Like, I don't know if I'm just not processing it right or if I should be comparing it to Demon Hunters in WoW, because they also can use like a little portal thing to like go a certain distance, but I never used that.
Isn't there's more like a dash?
I think it was a Warlock.
I see it as like the Sorcerer's Streak with verticality.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Sorcerer's Streak with verticality, but you place it like the Nightblade's shade, just kind of in reverse. Like,
do you think that I'm pretty sure only you can use it? Do you think other characters can also use it?
That would make it
cool. That would be interesting. Areas,
okay,
like it will use it in a very specific jump or something like that,
or like the grapple hook thing that they added
trials
in.
Trials or battlegrounds, and your team just pops out of a bush.
On like everywhere.
That'd be so rad.
The Nightblade's teleport strike, so it's not too much different from that, except it's a like targeted area than a target enemy.
Right. So, yeah. In that one, you go directly to an enemy as opposed to like my like this one. If you
played, would use goats to teleport all of them.
Yeah. So if you were to use this in like a PvP zone like Cyrodiil, then there could be enemies up on a wall and you might be able to teleport right. up to the wall or maybe not that'd enemies up in one wall. So you could actually surpass the wall and get in behind people or whatever.
Siege weapons just came out.
I wouldn't even be mad. I wouldn't even I don't think the Arcanist is going to be a class for me, but if little stealthy Arcanists are teleporting on walls and jumping down, that would just visually be cool. Like, and that'd be a new tactic or something you'd have to deal with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that could turn cool. things on its head. Even in yeah. little matches where you're just doing like battlegrounds or something, the ability yeah. to just kind of like warp from one place to another, get away or get around the enemy when they don't expect it.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to have to put some kind of limitations on it though.
Nah, we'll bust it open. Go crazy.
I would say long cooldown times.
Are you saying they should balance probably. PvP? Is that what you're saying?
Balance? Well,
the game already has a lot of invisible walls where like, oh, if you're worried about jumping to places that other people can't get to, I wouldn't worry about it. There's a lot of invisible walls that stop that anyways. But there's also just a lot of things that you can do if you're not an Arcanist. Like I remember there's a statue in, I think, Stormhaven that's like almost impossible to get to. But if you do like some weird running and sprinting and jumping to the right angle, you can get up there just in the right time. And I remember there was a warden who got up there and used the teleport ability and just teleported everyone around up on top of the statue. And there was like 50 people on top of the statue that no one can access normally.
That's great. That's great.
Should have been what an achievement.
What if that portal spent 90% of your magicka? It just obliterated your magicka, but you know, you could traverse vertically, you can have your friends go through it. Would that be balanced? I think that'd be pretty fair.
I feel, no. Yeah, I mean,
it depends.
I feel like they're gonna do something like that, either a long cooldown power or play. It's gonna like it's limited to or magicka.
What if it's your
rather
ultimate.
Than stamina or that? Yeah,
yeah, it could
I
be.
See it being it could, that being I could your see ultimate,
being that too.
Where hey, you have a 3-minute cooldown. Good luck. Have fun.
Right. You can use it once.
We would
but
never hear the end of it if they put a cooldown on it. I'm okay with cooldowns, but we would never hear the end of it. People would be upset till the end of time.
Yeah. Okay. So outside
of players aren't used to cooldowns.
Outside of the teleport ability, how do you guys feel about just a new class in general? Are you going to try it? Do you like playing?
I'm definitely
gonna
try it.
Well, I mean, if you get the upgrade or buy the expansion, you get like a free extra class.
Oh, you get a slot.
You get a slot, another character slot. So even if you're full,
they give you a free slot and then you can buy one more if you would like. So you can do a stam and mag version technically just based on the previous thing. So you can go up to 20 character slots now, which good God.
I'd like to
only have like eight.
I like to vent for a quick moment so we don't end on a cynical take here. I am so in love with Zossa's development team. The gameplay, ESO as a whole, I am their demographic. I've put money in this game and they're speaking to me every update. But this update kind of stings a little bit because I don't want to make another new character. I'm going to, but it doesn't right now. I guess I'm kind of on the like, oh, I didn't believe it'd be spellcrafting. I didn't want it to be spellcrafting, but a skill line would have been cool. Anything to me, a new class, I'll do it. I'll make another one, but I'm not super eager about it.
It feels like work to you.
I guess it could be kind of daunting.
That's why they have shared achievements.
Well, you know, it's not so much that. It's like they have a healing, a tank, and a DPS spec, just like the Warden did, just like the Necromancer
all
did.
Yeah, they all do.
Some are just better than others at certain things.
But I was expecting like veteran overland or
I think a lot of people were
or spellcrafting. Like I guess another highly requested feature was a class. I guess I didn't see that coming, but so, it was.
The thing was about like that that blew my mind. I wish I remember the outlet that he specifically talked to, but Rich Lambert, the creative director, had an interview with a major outlet. It might have been a Kotaku or something like that, where they actually asked specifically about that. And it was brought up in not so many words that It is impossible to add another class to ESO because last gen is out of memory.
Yeah, yeah. And right. that's what I mentioned at the beginning when I introduced this. Was yeah. It's right. It's like, so what kind of magic?
I was like,
did they summon Hermaeus Mora in order to make this work? Like,
well, do you guys remember?
They read a book that taught them how to introduce it into the game without messing up performance.
Right,
Because hearing a class has me nervous to a degree. Like,
here's something they might sadly put out there. Plot twist, old gen consoles won't get the class.
But ooh, they didn't, they haven't mentioned that. Well, here's the thing. Hold on. I've thought through this because I thought like, oh, well, what if they just make it one of those things where it's like, hey, it's time to upgrade from PS4 to PS5 or whatever in order to make sure you can play that other class. But that doesn't mean that you aren't also running around with other people who already have that class, which means your version of the game would still need to have all the animations, right, all that stuff, right, in it anyway, true, even right, if you can't play it.
That's a good point.
So that doesn't solve it. So
that's going to happen eventually, though. We're going to get those older consoles are going to get cut off sometime, but
I think next year, honestly, when the adoption rate gets higher.
I mean, we're getting close to the end of a console cycle traditionally anyway.
Right.
When did the PS5
already and over?
Yeah, right. The pipeline of distribution
typically
has been
like
held up.
The older gens, typically it's a 2-year cycle of where they like eventually like phase it out to where they stop making old new stuff.
Right. But when this did, what year did the PS5
2020
release 2020. Year?
I'm
the
calling
PS4
it now.
Came out
2020.
In 2013.
Okay. 20,
so.
Correct. 2020.
I work in the industries.
Yeah. So 2020. So we're at 2023. That means we've only got another, like most
this
console
year will be the last year of the conversion.
Yeah, because most console cycles, like an actual console, will stay the primary focus of development for 4 to 5 years on average. That's typically it. So we're already entering the second half of this console cycle.
When they release the version of ESO that has rewritten code, as they've mentioned before, they're like rewriting the code. It'll take a year or two. When that comes, they're dropping old console support. I'll buy 10 subs in chat if I'm wrong. I'm telling you, that's when it's going to be.
I think you're probably
like another year out at least.
We've already experienced a lot of server outages because of all of them. And they've said out loud, they are just recompartmentalizing all of their like game memory and data and trying to streamline it in a more cohesive way. And they've so far said they've had really good results with fixing all of that. So it makes a lot of sense that with all that succession in them compartmentalizing the game, that they've made room for another class. I didn't expect that to happen, maybe, but it makes sense with what they've already been telling us. Yes, they didn't have room when they last said it, but a lot of stuff has changed. We had server outages. We couldn't play the game for days, and everyone was complaining about it. And that was because they were fixing the game.
Right.
And it's made room for it.
I would expect that we're going to get some sort of sit down with Rich towards like E3, closer to launch, where somebody asks the questions, well, how did you make this work out? Well, this is what we did, and this is the plan forward. And this is what we're working on. It's a, you know, sure things up underneath the code base and stuff for the rest of the year, which
they
speaking
have a talented
of,
team. They do.
I wouldn't be surprised if they would announce that stuff when like the first part of the year drops.
Yeah.
Like the dungeon expansion.
Yeah. Right. So speaking
I
of,
I imagine they'll probably talk about that stuff.
Speaking of other stuff, we've got the dungeon expansion. We've got the storyline stuff. But then on the second half of the year, they revealed that they're having endless dungeons you can play with your buddies.
An endless dungeon, I believe.
Or at least one engine endless dungeon, but that doesn't mean that, you know, maybe there'll be more in the future.
I love the sound of that so much.
Are you guys into that sort of thing? This is something we've seen. Yeah, this is something we've seen in other games where it's like, well, okay, now that you can play through the content, why don't you just like see how many rungs of the tower you can go up or whatever, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to play this? What do you guys think?
Yes.
100%.
I hope
I play all of ESO.
Siege Bro says no.
Siege Bro says no. Either. All right, let's open this up to Siege Bro because Siege Bro hasn't talked a whole lot yet. Siege Bro, why not?
Okay, I'm going to filibuster for a second here. As you notice, a little dressed up, all that stuff.
Yes.
In the middle of
looking
laundry.
Looking sharp, by the way.
And I broke out my Renaissance job work outfit because you know what? I'm always happy when a new expansion drops. It's like a holiday for me. So I'm breaking open the 2018 mead. I'm pouring out a little bit for all my friends who agree with me.
Wait, for your homies?
For the homies.
Okay.
For my Hermes.
For your Hermes.
Hey. But here's my thing. I don't like endless anything because that means it's going to be a random tile set.
Endless pizza.
And as much as I love ESO, as much as I love ESO, developers that I have a lot more goodwill with have not perfected that themselves. Like From Software, Bloodborne had Chalice Dungeons, and it just wasn't like really beloved, you know? So that's just my opinion, though. I hope anyone who is looking forward to this content enjoys it, of course.
Sure.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. T-Rex, you also said, no, not for you.
So I said, well, mainly because one, even though it's a MMO, I tend to play by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And two, I might do it one time and then just get sick of it because it's endless. So there's no end in sight.
Technically,
so I'll just get it's annoyed like a challenge or bored. Thing.
It
whatever.
Ends when you die. Well, I mean, technically, that's the way these usually work.
That's
right.
You guys remember?
I mean,
when
but
they
if you keep not dying, then you're just like
Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, and Todd Howard was like, there's an infinite number
oh dear
of
God.
Quests. You will never run out of quests. And everyone was so thrilled about that. And then we found out it was the same 6 quests on repeat.
But it's the Radiant thing. Yeah.
If that's what it is, that's not what we want. But it'll be, if it's something different,
It'll be like maps that pre-generate over a basis of different types, and then there's going to be different sets of enemies, and then the number of enemies or the health of the enemies or whatever scales as you move up the dungeon.
Yeah,
like
the
that's typically that's typically how it goes.
Whatever.
Yeah, you get like a random boss pool, so now you get like tentacle boss when you hit tier 10, and then you get like the big dog boss when you hit tier 20 or whatever.
Also, hopefully it's more engaging than something like Dragon Star Arena, which is most of the
grueling.
Time you're just waiting for the next thing to happen. You're just sitting there waiting, and because like the gameplay is so simple, and so hopefully they make it engaging and hopefully they make it diverse.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling it's going to be one of those things where you definitely get to a level and then you die, and
maybe it'll
have it will be
like in Torghast, you'll get
hated Torghast. Hated it.
Updated Torghast, maybe not old Torghast. Or like you'll get new power ups so you run faster every 3 rounds or something. Like they could do something like that.
Yeah, they could.
Now, speaking solo, we have new companions.
Yes, there's new companions.
I'm excited about that.
I'm still mad that they haven't done a Dark Brotherhood companion, but whatever.
Well, one of them is like
he's a mercenary,
assassin, right?
He's a mercenary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have
he's still morally questionable.
Warden. Yeah, but it doesn't mean he won't say no. He might say no to the Blade of Woe, like everyone else.
Ember doesn't.
A dark
I don't
elf
think Ember does.
Or does Miri? She not?
I'm not sure. Actually,
Miri hates
it. But I thought she did it.
Miri hates it for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both of the original guys hate the Blade of Woe.
Yes. Yeah,
what is
the most annoying thing?
The
ever.
Race of the Arcanist companion, because it's an Argonian.
Redguard. He's a Redguard. Oh, so there's Argonian mercenary, and then the Redguard Arcanist.
Yeah,
and he seems really cool because it's again tied into the storyline and some sort of connection to forbidden knowledge and all of that kind of stuff.
I have no need to buy this next chapter right away because I have so much other content in ESO to play first, but the companions and the new class are like, well, I don't really want to wait for those though. But the rest of it, I don't
right?
I can wait a year or two. I don't care. I'll buy what goes on sale. But
I do that every time.
Plus, every time I go and get the
one that I want, and then I'm like, all right, let's go back and do all this other stuff, and then I'll come back to the content.
And don't forget, you get that like weird looking pony and horse.
Oh, the pizza pony!
Pizza pony!
Oh my god!
Yeah, look at
that. Pizza pony.
Yeah, the more you look at it, the more gross it is. Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
And then if you get the deluxe, you get the Cthulhu horse.
Oh yeah, the which its neck horse. Just looks like it's perpetually screaming at yes. me, which is really unnerving.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
When I saw that, I was like, someone played Elden Ring. That's yeah. That's some gruesome.
Like an unhealthy amount.
Yeah. I'm totally into the vibe. I think all of this stuff is going to be awesome. And we're getting close to the end of the show here. So I know all of us could probably spend all night talking about all this
hype
stuff.
Hype cycle for 5 hours. Right. It's going to turn into a Tales of Tamriel episode.
What is it, Rob?
Very relieved that they were wrong about, we were talking in the pre-show, they were wrong about Blacklight City.
Young gifted trick, I am
super thrilled for the Dawnguard fort, and I don't want that to get missed.
Yeah, maybe you'll get your full expansion next year.
Because I know we're too close to the Skyrim one, we're not going to get vampire stuff. So I was like, oh no, we're going to get in that area and we're not going to get vampires, so I'm not going to get my story. But this means that in another year in the future, we might get a Fort Dawnguard expansion, and that makes me excited.
Well, there you go.
Super relieved.
There you go.
That's
I'm glad
what
you
I
feel
want
better.
Too. Dawnguard for all the way.
Tom, did you say what you were excited about with the Endless Dungeon? I think you just posed the question.
I posed the question. I'm into trying that stuff out. I don't know that I stick around. I bounce off content pretty quickly after about like a week or two of doing anything. I just kind of move on. So sure. I'm not going to be the kind of person who just grinds it. Like, I got to get to level 100. I got to get to 150. That's not my cup of tea. But I do enjoy trying everything at least once. And if it's something that's fun, especially if some of you guys are playing and it's like a, you know, we're going to like, hey, let's have a night where we all pair up and see who can get the furthest in the dungeon or whatever. Then, yeah, absolutely. Ooh. Absolutely. That'd be fun. Yeah. And we can all hang out and chat while, you know, yelling at each other. You know, no, dodge the thing. No, oh, God.
Someone died. Take a drink.
Yeah. Sure. Right. So tell you what, why don't we go back through and you guys have a chance to share anything else that you're working on or ways that people can reach out. And I know some of you guys have some side projects, some of you don't. If you don't have a side project or if you do, share the thing about this expansion that you're most excited about. So let's start with T-Rex. T-Rex, you're first in line on my screen.
Oh no. Way to put the
What does your gut tell you? What does your heart say? What are you most
about the expansion?
Yeah, what are you most excited for?
I'm excited to go to the new area and see Apocrypha in the ESO light.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that's totally makes sense.
And the Argonian dude.
And the Argonian dude, your companion. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. Is there anything else you want to share?
Not really. I don't do anything, so.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. It's always good to have you join us. Ben, I know you've got some side projects, but before you talk about those, what are you most excited about?
Honestly, I'm like super pumped for the new class because I've been kind of wanting to play as something different.
Yeah.
I mainly do a Nightblade, but an Arcanist sounds awesome. And then just like T-Rex, I'm super excited for the new companions. The Argonian, like, I'm just curious if he's okay with the Blade of Woe. Well, so that's what I need to.
As long as he gets paid, he's a mercenary. Just pay
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
He shouldn't
care. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah,
I mean,
I'm also.
Sense.
Yeah. So I'm also one of the hosts for Holocron History, Star Wars Canon versus Legends, to where we go in a deep dive of the Star Wars universe. And I am also one of the hosts for the Wizarding World Lorecast, to where we take a deep dive into all things Wizarding World / Harry Potter. And expect me possibly getting back into streaming here shortly once Hogwarts Legacy drops here in like a week and a half.
Yeah, you're going to be playing that
a
lot.
Very
excited.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, go check out all of Ben's stuff. Thanks for joining us, Ben. And then we've got Ombre Mortem. Ombre, what are you most excited about?
I know we didn't really touch on this, but I'm probably really most excited about any new lore we might be seeing because, I mean, we're going to the land of knowledge, might find some new things that might open up new doors to new expansions, and I'm always excited about learning new things, so that's something I'm really looking forward to because we're going to literally the realm of knowledge.
Realm of forbidden.
Where are we
going to
find?
Yeah. All of these things. Lore is underneath all of this stuff, so
yeah, exactly.
I'm sure we'll find something. Anything else you want to share?
I stream quite a bit, so if you ever want to find me, I'm always streaming under the same exact name, so.
Ombre Mortem. There you go. Yeah. On Twitch.
Yep, on Twitch.
Twitch is the place. All right, awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. Rob the princess, Roberta, as we decided the other day on the other stream. That's your full name, Roberta. What are you most excited about?
It's stuck between just getting more companions because I love companions, or I think the Arcanist class, and then I'm very excited to see what stories we get to listen to. But the class is probably the most exciting thing. I love making new characters. So
awesome. Anything else you want to share?
Come join the Lorecasters Guild. I'm one of the guild officers on the PCNA server, and I will definitely get your application in a timely manner and not wait 2 weeks to respond to it.
That never happens.
That sounds like a lie.
but shoot me a message if I don't. Otherwise, Rob the Princess, anywhere you can find me. Also, check out the Sky Oblivion Project. They got a release date planned, and they got a new trailer, so
yeah,
all good stuff. That's it. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob. Falcon, what are you most excited about? Falcon here.
Probably nothing.
Oh, there's Falcon.
I don't play ESO.
Is there anything exciting from like a lore standpoint, though? Because if you don't play ESO, you have to admit that they've done a really good job fleshing out more lore.
I mean, yeah, the lore of like Necrom in that, what, 94 was the last time we
95.
Were in the area? 95.
Yeah. The first Elder Scrolls game. Yeah.
Yeah. So see that actually fleshed out in more than roughly 7 pixels is going to be cool.
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree. Well, if you ever decide to pick up ESO, let us know, because you're always welcome to join us. And anything else you want to share?
I did a hot take last month. You mind if I do another one now?
Sure, go for it.
All right. So I know at least to like Lotus, he's not the most popular. But Elder Scrolls, obviously a team effort, but the most important person to the series succeeding is Michael Kirkbride.
Even though he doesn't work on anything with them anymore?
It's simply because Morrowind.
Because the foundation.
If Morrowind was not so strange.
That's a really good point.
If it was not so strange, I don't think Elder Scrolls would be as big.
Yeah, it would feel more bland.
Skyrim, it's vanilla in comparison to Morrowind.
Skyrim
was the game, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Also, before the neckbeards come for you guys, Reno was in 94, not 95.
Oh, it was 94. It's even older than I realized.
Well, there you go. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think because of Kirkbride and some of the other writers at that time, they were able to take it in places that made it feel truly unique for a fantasy setting. And even though they've reined it in a bit since then, it still creates a foundation that makes it distinct and different from everything else. So, I think
like on that point, because like, again, I'm like notorious for like sort of dunking on Kirkbride. Mm-hmm. I say Kirkbride is easily one of the best writers in fiction as long as he has an editor.
Oh, yeah. He's a great ideas guy.
That's his thing.
Right.
Unchained, I am not a Kirkbride fan.
No,
reined in a little
insanity.
Bit. Kirkbride is one of the most unique and talented writers that the industry has probably ever seen.
And clearly on mushrooms the whole time.
No, that's just Morrowind.
Oh, that's just Morrowind. That's just Morrowind.
Yeah, those two might have been associated. That's a good call. That's a good call.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever think about why there's so many mushrooms in Super Mario?
Kirkbride was sober for the entire thing. And
I know that's the thing that
when people
so
blame him on drugs.
I'm
like,
kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
Then he
might need to get checked in somewhere.
So many times where she's like, "Oh my god, why does everybody think my husband was on drugs the whole time?" I was like, "Cause it's really creative, and most people are creative when they're high as a kite." So
it's
I guess
creative.
It caught on.
It's creative in a like you were high at some point, at least in your life, kind of way. Yeah, it's got that kind of tone to it.
He was notoriously sober at the time of apparently writing Morrowind.
Right.
Holy moly.
Right. Well, maybe it's just a loose kind of guy.
It wasn't just him. You know, it takes a village to raise.
Oh no!
Like I said,
it's a team effort. But like, you know, like Coda and that, he's obviously got the strange ideas.
And you can feel the difference in the writing of the series after he left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like his influence was very strong. And I feel honestly, as much as I still enjoy the series, is missed without him.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also, just not to keep on rabbit trailing at this point.
You're the one ending the podcast. For the fun.
I would argue that also you can tell that he wasn't just, quote, high the whole time, because the strange things actually have reasons and foundations and ways that they loop back and connect to other stuff.
Yeah. It's not like, weird to be strange. There's a lot of context and connections between it all. It's really impressive.
It's not just strange for the sakeness of being strange.
People who do drugs are stupid.
No. What I'm saying is, if you were to try to write something like that while also being on drugs, it's not going to have as much internal consistency and connect to other stuff. Yeah, it's just going to be weird for the sake of being weird.
Stuff might be flowery and weird, but at the same time, when it actually all logically loops together in a lot of situations, it's like, what the? Okay. So that isn't just like flowery for the sake of flowery. It was.
Yeah.
Written in a way that actually had another meaning to it.
It serves as analogy for something else or whatever.
Arimetheus a job for the rest of his life.
Also possible.
Maybe. All right. Well, thank you for that hot take, Falcon. It definitely, we'll have to have him. Maybe this will be the future patron chat.
That was a good hot take.
Yeah. So Siege Bro, what's your most exciting thing about the next expansion?
You know what? It's probably just because it's topical for me. I started a D&D campaign and I'm playing a warlock, so it's got to be the Arcanist. I'm looking forward to playing the new class. Also, new outfits. That's what it really always comes down to.
Fashion scrolls. Yeah, absolutely. Except for when you're Lotus and you just wear the same glass armor.
Glass is still a fashion.
You don't change your fashion, though.
It's just branding. Everything's green.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm wearing green IRL right now. My favorite prince is all green and stuff.
I don't think you answered the question. I can't remember if it was in the Discord or on Twitter, but someone asked you, is now finally the time where you're going to change how your character looks? Because you're probably going to get some Hermaeus Mora outfit options.
That's not a bad move.
I know. I have no comment.
Have a big crest
yet.
Of Herma.
I know.
Oh my God. Eyes and tentacles on your pauldrons and stuff. Oh my
God.
Funny enough that the Mirak looking motif
weaponry?
You get has the Hermaeus Mora emblems on the chest and everything.
Yeah, the tentacles and, on the mask. Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you actually look at the still frame of your Arcanist companion, it's a Hermaeus Mora interwound staff. So definitely, probably the best chance we'll see to get some type of my motif actually changed. I don't know.
I mean, you probably got to wash that old glass set. It hasn't been washed in a long time.
Oh, yeah. No, it's real ripe at this point.
Yeah, it's super ripe.
It's
people can smell you when you're in the town yet, when you're coming to town. People are like, Lotus is on the air tonight, so he must be coming for a visit.
Oh, Lotus just entered the trial. Gross.
All right. Well, Siege Bro, thank you for joining us. Anything else you want to share?
Episode 4 of Deathcast has released on Spotify and a couple other streaming platforms. So that's a DETHKAST. It's awesome. The only fan-made Death Clock podcast.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, go check that out. And good luck with that. That sounds great. And then Jumarov, you're wrapping it up for us. What are you most excited about?
I am most excited about those small moments you get when you finally get to sit down and enjoy the story and you zone in and you're playing and, you know, you do read someone's journal or you see why that wagon was turned over. You know, those little moments that just suck you into the world. Those are my favorite parts of this game. Because if you can slow down and smell the roses, Zoss does such a great job at like rewarding the player for doing that. So I really take my time with ESO content. So another chapter, I mean, I'm here for it. I'm definitely here for it.
Yeah, totally. Awesome.
I forgot to say, Naru's back.
Naru's back.
That's true. That's like a huge thing.
I forgot about that.
I was going to say, Naru is back and people are losing their minds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The simps are out.
Yes.
We've been talking about neckbeards and simps and, man, all sorts of things. I think we just lost like 10% of our audience.
Yeah. Let's bring in incel necromancers and we'll really just single out a good chunk of it.
Speaking of, you remember that one episode we did about...
Sure do.
What's his face? Don't go read the comments on YouTube on that one.
Oh man, well, no, I know what I'm doing after this episode.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Wait, what video? Which we'll one? Send engagement that way. We'll yeah. go leave a comment.
It says the thumbnail's like, I don't remember.
Was it like someone defending him? Like he did nothing wrong.
There's Ooh, there was I if I is. Recall, there's at least one person who, I don't know, was kind of like, well, actually,
it's the
something.
Necromancer outside. I might be wrong. Of, I might be wrong. Is it Dawnstar?
Yeah. The thumbnail Ooh. Says incel on it.
Yeah, like, no, it's straight up. We yeah. leaned into it.
Oh, so they're probably defending the ideology of incel more than the necromancer.
I feel like which, I feel like that's where I saw a comment. Maybe it was a message I got from someone. Right. I get lots of stuff, right? So if it's
which
not in there,
disgusting.
Don't at me because like, sorry, I misremembered.
Bodies. But if you call me an incel, that's too far.
But if you do read the comments and you do see a comment in there that's a little off color, then that might be the thing I'm trying to remember. But it's been
perfect.
But Jimroff, anything else you want to share?
Yeah. Usually when I get on here, I mention one day I'll play the game with you guys and one day I'll make content and I'm working on it. I got literally a list of 100 ideas to talk about.
Wow.
You know, life hits you hard and you can cut this from the podcast if you must, but I just had a baby. And so
I've been pretty good at that.
Why would we cut this from the podcast? That's awesome.
No, because you know, now I'm telling my friends. Now I'm telling the community.
Well, can we leave it in? Because that's awesome. Everybody should celebrate that.
Yes.
That's great.
It's great.
Babies and bills. I did want to also mention I won a little giveaway from one of Lotus's streams. Uh-huh. It has all this Morrowind goodie stuff and this calendar and all this stuff from the UASP. It's so rad. I look forward to posting about it eventually. And then when I do make content, you guys will know because I'll likely just dump a lot out.
Okay.
I'm working on a lot of things. So when it comes, it'll come and you guys will know. So
well,
thank
if you
for
also if you have any questions, about content creation, any of that stuff, Lotus and I have been doing this for a while. So feel free.
I'm familiar. I've seen you guys. Yeah. I know you're out here.
I'm so glad
all your stuff arrived.
Also, congratulations on the baby. Also, congratulations on all the stuff. And as soon as you're out of baby jail and you're able to make stuff, let us know. Because that's a real thing. That's a real thing. But that's awesome. Yeah, give that baby lots of cuddles and man, congratulations. Well, that's gonna do it for this week. Lotus, you have anything else you want to share while you take a drink of your? All
right, literally taking a drink right as you went to me. So as for me, I'm just Lotus of Doom everywhere. I'm super easy to get a hold of. I've just been continuing to play through the Elder Scrolls Daggerfall and uploading the episodes of my catastrophe because it's just an absolute mess because I don't look anything up in advance and chats graciously helps me through stuff. But other than that, we just recorded our very abridged hype episode for Tales of Tamriel for all the stuff, very similar topics to what we just did. And next week we'll probably be diving more into it because they're doing an ESO live this Friday from this episode, provided you hear it before the 27th.
Or you can go back and watch the recording. Usually they keep
this
on
exactly.
YouTube,
so they're going to go a little more into it. So we'll have a little more to discuss on the show. Because they gave a lot of details that we've been discussing, but they're going to go more into a deep dive and then we get the PTS and all that stuff. So that's where we dig in deep with the other show I do, the Unofficial Scrolls Pages Presents Tales of Tamriel. So that's pretty much it for me. I'm just around. If you need me, definitely hit me up. Just let me know. But otherwise, I'll see you all again here next week as well.
I think we should all start watching out for Lotus. He's probably going to start growing tentacles.
Oh, yeah. You know,
he's going to live in Apocrypha now. So
yeah,
he's going to become.
I'm becoming one with that statue when it arrives.
Gross.
A new hell.
Yeah, no.
The transformation has begun.
Gross. I accept.
He's going to start making out with it.
just saying. There's going to be new housing now.
He'll be.
I know. Oh,
that's what I was excited about. The furniture.
I'm going to lose my mind.
I just get these images.
If you play ESO and have not gone to Craglorn, do the Seeker's Archive. It does sort of imply that you need a group. You can make do if need be, but go to Craglorn in ESO, go to the Seeker's Archive, and when you turn in the quest, look at that big-ass statue. It is awesome, and I want it for my house.
It's a statue of a big ass?
It's a big-ass statue.
So it's the new DeBella statue?
Wait. like a person's butt or like a donkey?
Well, no, it's Hermaeus Morris's ass, right?
Oh, okay. Inside
jokes. He's nebulous as hell. So what would you even consider the ass? Oh,
man, I've got these pictures.
Tom, good luck with editing this thing.
No, it's just going up. It's going up straight. It doesn't matter. It's just going up.
Try to be like going up raw. Clean on this show.
He's just giving up.
Bad.
Yeah,
for
it's just
20 minutes.
This is what it is. It's fine. It's just going up as it is.
Sorry, I ruined everything again. I'll get a card and a cake next time.
I totally have his picture in my mind of you getting that giant statue and putting it like on your desk next to you. And then like you're like playing like feverishly in Apocrypha and talking to the statue as you do it. And then your wife comes to the door of the little room, little office you're in. And you're like, oh, hold on. Honey, oh, you're going to sleep? Okay, have a good night. Yes, she's going to sleep. And then you start kissing the statue. And
then he throws his poop sock.
And then she
throws his poop sock out the window.
Boots is just mortified by everything that's happening.
Oh my god! Like, and then, unfortunately, within the next few years, you're divorced, and
then Boots is upset because I'm paying more attention to the statue. Like,
yeah. Well, good luck with all of that, Lotus. Yeah. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. This has been a super fun episode. And
took some weird directions, too.
Yeah, robotsradio.net for all my stuff. Also, check out starfieldinsider.com, new website with me and some other content creators who are going to be doing Starfield stuff. And in fact, I just put up an article yesterday about the watch. There's a smartwatch for Starfield that looks like the device in the game with like the same UI and all that stuff. And information came out about that on the watchmaker's like manual site. So you can get kind of an early glimpse at that. I don't know if it's going to be part of like the special edition or something, but you can see some of the stuff up on starfieldinsider.com. Go check that out. So, all right. And Rob's got the jokes in the chat. Thanks, Rob. All right, everybody. That's it for tonight. Have a wonderful rest of your week. We'll talk to you next time. See you guys. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.